Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Danielle Blackwell, and as she said, I'm from Albany, Georgia, Tools for Change. And so I want to also introduce Jacqueline Jenkins, who's our epidemiologist in Daugherty County, which is the county that the city of Albany resides in. And she's also our technical advisor, who, thank God, came in right on time after Kim wasn't renewed. Dr. Kimberly Coleman. Karen McWhite, our president of the steering committee, is not here, but Veronis Ford, our vice president, is. So, Vice President Veronis Ford, if you stand up once again. We also have an assisting technical advisor. Tori Knight is here. And so this is our team, and we are here ready to go. All right, I do have financial relationship with the presentation. I have, over the past 12 months, I have been employed as an independent contractor for the research and the clinical trials through Albany, Georgia, Tools for Change. And that is funded by W.K. Kellogg Foundation. Albany, Georgia, as she showed you on the map, is nestled in South Georgia. We're closer to Tallahassee. This is the HBCU. This is Albany State University that we're working with. President Holly came from Boston when he read The Souls of Black Men back in the 1900s, and in 1903 he founded that school. As you can see, the river runs through it, the Flint River, so our community is subject to major flooding. College Heights and College Park communities are the subject community that's being researched. They are two distinct communities, which we found out when we first went into the community. College Heights was founded first. The residents of College Heights have been there pretty much since it was founded. I haven't met anyone who hasn't been there under 25 years yet. And then College Park, which is right across Holly Drive, has the most homes, 130, and there's a small pocket of original homeowners, but most of them have been there for between 7 to 5 years, and the majority of them are renters. So we have two very distinct audiences that we didn't know about when we first started this grant. We learned about it when we took our students, our HBCU students, into the communities to first do our door knock. We took some wonderful fraternity in there. I call them my children, my boys. And some of them, the older ones, had on their tie and their suits, and the other one had on their black and gold and their boots and their letters. And unfortunately, we didn't know. The younger ones went over to College Heights with the boots and the letters, and the suited up ones went into College Park with me. And so we were perceived as Jehovah's Witness or some religious group. No one would open the door for us. And then over at College Heights, most of them discovered that a lot of their professors and former professors or residents there, they were, pull your pants up. What you doing with those boots knocking on my door? You put some clothes on. So over a year, we learned our audience. And we were able to establish a great steering committee. We went into that community asking if you would join the steering committee. And so we found Veronis and many of our, we had 10 that said yes. We are located in the midst of three Superfund sites, Merck Pharmaceutical, which has moved and is no longer there, but Procter & Gamble is there, and the United States Marine Corps Logistics Base. We share a canal with them, which is very prone to flooding, so we have a lot of issues with the canal. As she's already told you, the history of Tools for Change, it actually started in 1990. 06, it was restructured and it became a 501c3. In 2008 is when it actually became New Tools Vision. I came on in 09, so the steering committee was actually formed in 09. So as you can see, that's been a decade pretty much of floundering. But we are together, and our mission, thanks to Ms. Jenkins, she's a really great facilitator, we have a mission statement, which is to engage and empower the community, and that's what we really are about. And we have been about that business this year. So and our goal is to assess the overall health of the community, the residents, conducting research to validate those things that they believe is what's wrong with in their community. We went in for a pre-assessment, and we found that many of them have circulatory diseases, which of course they blame on the shared use of the marine canal. They believe that a lot of chemicals are coming from the marine base. Then there's one side that says when it rains, it's a dew that drops on their car that's chemically based dew. So we have all of these different things that the community are saying was wrong. And now we're at the point where we are trying to get the research done to prove whether that's true or not. And so we are transforming preventive research into effective strategies and trying to get those solutions and get that done for our communities. And in the midst of doing that, we are also really actively engaging in branding the steering committee and also really actively engaging in changing behavior patterns. And I just love that we're doing that. So our success in CPPR have been getting the long-term commitment. That was the problem with the board over the 10-9 years. It was just getting that person that want to stick it out and persevere and push through working with the community and working with partnerships. It really is a pull and tug, so you have to be committed. And it takes time. It's a time-consuming thing. Recognizing the community as a unit of identity and not a them and a us. That is a major struggle, but we really have gotten to a different place. And co-learning and capacity building amongst all our partners working together, we've really been doing a good job with that this past year. And building on our strengths and our resources within the community, because as I said, the community really does consist of a lot of different. We have the plant workers, we have the Marines, we have the educators, we got the PhDs, we have the young families, we have all of these pieces together of pulling our community into one and not just a college part thing, just a community. Our threat is still the facilitation of that whole collaboratory, equitable partnership in all the phases of project and research. We are still dealing with equality and equal and the whole cyclical model. And so we are going to continue to keep pushing along because, as she said, we are stronger now and we got our gloves on. So restructuring the board is what made it happen, that finally got us to a place of movement. And then empowering the steering committee members to actively participate in the grant, bringing them on board. They made the steering committee president a board member. And so they interact with the board, and so we're working those things out. Conducting and participating in relevant public health and community-based training. We've gone to so many training and conferences, which has been so wonderful. And we always make sure a steering committee is there. And so now we're at the place where this coming February, we, the steering committee and our tech, we're going to conduct the training. We're going to take Portland, and we're going to take Denver, and we're going to take visions into our community and conduct training. And so we are building. We're building these community members. Very distinct, but now collectively as one community. We're engaging in outreach. We know them. I can tell you everybody, all 172 houses, I know them, and now they know us, and so it's different when we go in. When we go into there, we do not just play and have a good time. All of our events are theme-based about the environment, about the health. We help the children. We have standardized testing in Georgia. So we celebrate them when they go through their week of testing. We have poster contests for the kids. We do a lot of things. We are now collecting, and this will be our second annual week, community collect for the home that houses the women and children who have been battered. We now collect for those houses, and we do that annually, and we start that every November. And our very, very, very proud moment is, as I told you, the city is prone to flooding, and their neighborhood is especially prone to flooding on the east side. This is a huge sinkhole behind one of the communities that if it rains for more than 2 hours, it is a swimming pool. If it rains over a day, then those houses behind it are flooded. And that almost happens annually. But because of our new partnership, and we've been on that county for a year now, we are now engaged with the county in our new drainage project, and that is getting ready to be the site of a permanent sump pump. And as you can see, the large tubes that's going to go through the sump pump and actually go into the marine base and into the canal, and then they're taking the marine base canal water and shifting it somewhere else. So the residents are so happy. Ms. Ford happens to live next to the second holding pond, and that's going to be the house of a temporary sump pump. So we're going to lose our neighborhood swimming pool. So we have geared our efforts to, you know, of course, to deal with our audience, retirees and young families. And our steering committee and our board members, we just really actively engage in empowering our residents, like I said, with our CBPR training, all of our evaluation training, our vision training, communication. We have monthly steering committee meetings, and we've been doing that for over a year. We've hosted a series of events, as I said, all kind of things that we've done in the community. And our newsletter is coming out this month for all that we're doing. And I alluded to our project that's going on. We also started a petition for streetlights in the community. So we are now we can say we've left something in that community for years and years to come. And so we have had our growth is because of our leadership change, our staff change, our energetic steering committee, our partnering, our resources, and like I said, after a year, we are really kicking butt, if I can say that. And we got the RN research. We, myself and many of the steering committees, we've gone through the NIH research, too, for the human subject online course. And we are waiting patiently for our IRB application to get in there and start our surveys, our assessment, our key informant interviews, which Tori Knight, very applaudedly so, has put that together under the direction of Jackie Jenkins. So we are moving and grooving. This is our steering committee member. There's 10 now. We actually just have a new person that came on board, Ms. Barbara Banks. And as you can see, they are all residential, College Park or College Heights. And we have our full board, our staff, and our emeritus board, and all of our staff members. So we are, and if it wasn't for Dr. Coleman pushing us to do things just like this, presenting posters, presenting papers, we would not be here today. So I thank you. I miss you. And little do they know, we still call her late night. and Terry Wright, it is really different when you have someone who's hands-on and then not have these two people at all, which is the case for us now. We have no one to, we don't have that overhead anymore. So it's been a bit challenging, but we appreciate you. So collectively, if you have any questions for the both of us, since we're intertwined together, we'll be more than happy to.
Since we have a very few minutes left, what I think I'd like to do is have our panel come all together, and we can address questions to, I'm sorry, you can stay seated, and we'll have the audience address questions to the panel. Okay. If you wouldn't mind standing.
There are researchers, but understand the problems that we have seen. and was putting on programs and really wasn't programs that had any benefit to the community and the purpose of that community organization. It benefited the college. And that was not in line with the mission of this project or the mission of these school of these organizations. And so I had another, when I did the CBPR training, the first round of training, I had a faculty member who basically was like, you know, well, there's nothing really that you can teach me. Now, this is someone who has a degree in teaching, has no training, no detailed training in CBPR, but basically was like, you know, I'm here, but, you know, I haven't heard anything different. This was useless for me. And so it's that commitment piece and that whole piece that we heard about yesterday. Are you a servant leader or are you in this for what you can get? Understanding that as academics, we do have tenure and promotion related objectives and goals that we have to meet, but then you've got to kind of draw your line at whether you're going to use the community or whether or not you're going to be part of the community and work toward making that community better and bridging that gap between the university and the community.
Okay, Ms. Coates.
Let me add into that too, because you know the faculty at Albany State University is second to none, top notch. Our issue has been getting through the bureaucracy of getting the IRB through and not being perceived as something important or relevant, just that to the neighborhoods over there on the side of the street. And so just getting that mindset change and new dialogue has taken 5 years and with the same HBCU. And so, and it has been a process of changing people and changing faces just to get it done. And it has been very challenging for this collaborative.
Okay, Ms. Code.
Oh, well, I guess I was just wanting to, first of all, thank the young lady for raising her question. And we have to value everybody's question and concern. And so that may be something you want to think about talking about further among yourselves. So she won't feel, she'll feel that you heard her concern. The other thing is just 2 weeks ago, I live in walking distance of a great HBCU directed by Junior and Malvo, Bennett College for Women. 3 weeks ago, we held an Undoing Racism training on campus with students, and our objective is to build more community in the community, in the HBCU. And so it's almost sometimes you have to start from the ground up. We used to do this with Dr. Gloria Scott some, how many, 15 years ago. So we're back at that relationship building. And it always is sometimes not just about putting people on our agenda, but looking at how to build those relationships and maybe developing a new agenda that will work toward that. And while I'm saying this, and that I just want to acknowledge some wonderful people who are here from Greensboro. One, our principal investigator, Jeannie. You still back there? She's from Chapel Hill, University of North Carolina, known all over the country. Alex, are you back there? Alex Lightfoot, who is with Sponsored Programs along with Jeannie Ng, and also Nora Jones, who is my president of the Partnership Council, and the founder of the Sisters Network in Greensboro. If we have just time for you to understand what miracles that happened there. And Donna has had to leave, and my own cousin from right here in Denver, Emily. Thank you so
okay,
much for the opportunity.
Please join me, Dr. Jenkins.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And Dr. Jenkins. Yeah. We also make a name to him at UNC, okay? Just want to be sure.
I wouldn't be the last But the solutions are also in the problems. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to leave you with the idea that we should avoid the problem and therefore avoid the solution. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a terrible conclusion to draw from this. The other thing is I think history is important. You talked about tools for change and visions too. Well, what about one? What do we know about what happened before you got there? That history is huge and complex. And I think it is important, would have been really important to explain who conceived of this idea, Dr. Rowley, first of all, right there, and why that first situation failed. Because it leads into the problems that you had.
Yeah.
And so I think history is important, as you know, Sassafras. And I think looking at the dynamics of looking for the real solutions, HBCUs have problems, there's no question about it, but it also might be the solution to some of the problems in our society. Thank you.
Okay, please.